Blog Talk Radio.
You know, there are too many people trying to take care of other folks' business. And they can't even take care of their own. But what you need to do is take 6 months to mind your own business. And 6 months to leave other folks' business alone. All I'm trying to say is,
sweep around your own front door.
You try to sweep around mine.
Sweep around your own front door
before you try to sweep around mine. Now this is what you do. You smile at your neighbor's face and you talk about them behind their back. Y'all know you do. But if you found out they were doing the same thing to you, you know you wouldn't like that. Well, tell me this.
Who are we to judge what other people do?
Take a look at yourself, you'll find some faults too.
Sweep around your own door
before you try to sweep around mine. You need to take a little time to stop, look in the mirror, and check yourself. And here's the reason why. Cause we all have sinned and come short of God's glory today. So we don't have time to spread here and say,
good evening, podcast family. Welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge production, the Messenger Edition. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. I am Nurse Carmen, and now we will have a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you once again for tuning in tonight. I just want to start off by saying that you cannot create a thing, not a thought, an object, an event, no experience of any kind, which is outside of God's plan. For God's plan is for you to create anything, everything, whatever you want. In such freedom lies the experience of God being God. And this is the experience for which God created you and life itself. Evil is that which you call evil. Yet, even that God loves. For it is only through that which you call evil that you know that you can know good. Only through that which you call the work of the devil that you can know and do the work of God. God does not love hot more than God loves cold, high more than low, left more than right. It is all relative. It is all part of what is. God does not love good more than God loves bad. And as I've said so many times before, this is why Hitler went to heaven. When you understand this, you will understand God. Everything is acceptable in the sight of God. For how can God not accept that which is? To reject a thing is to deny that it exists. To say that it is not okay is to say that it is not a part of God. And that is impossible. Yet, hold to your beliefs and stay true to your values, for these are the values of your parents, of your parents' parents, of your friends and of your society. They form the structure of your life, and to lose them would be to unravel the fabric of your experience. Still, examine them one by one. Review them piece by piece. Do not dismantle the house, but look at each brick and replace those which appear broken, which no longer supports the structure. Your ideas about right and wrong are just that, ideas. They are the thoughts which form the shape and create the substance of who you are. There would be only one reason to change any of these, only one purpose in making an alteration. If you are not happy with who you are, only you can know if you are happy. Only you can say of your life, this is my creation in which I'm well pleased. If your values serve you, hold to them, argue for them, fight to defend them. Yet, seek to fight in a way which harms no one. Harm is not a necessary ingredient in healing. Then you say to me, well, you're telling me to hold to my values. At the same time, I'm saying your values are wrong. But I have not said your values are wrong. But neither are they right. They are simply judgments, assessments, decisions. For the most part, they are decisions made not by you, but by someone else. Your parents, perhaps, your religion, your teachers, historians, politicians. Very few of your value judgments you have incorporated into your truth are judgments you yourself have made based on your own experience. Yet, experience is what you came here for. And out of your experience were you to create yourself. You have created yourself out of the experience of others. If there was such a thing as sin, this would be it. To allow yourself to become what you are because of the experience of others. This is the sin you have committed. All of you, you do not await your own experience. You accept the experience of the others as gospel, literally. And then when you encounter the actual experience for the first time, you overlay that, what you think you already know, onto the encounter. If you did not do this, you might have a wholly different experience, one that might render your original teachers or source wrong. In most cases, you don't want to make your parents, your school, your religion, your traditions, your holy scripture wrong. So you deny your own experience in favor of what you have been told to think. Now, nowhere can this be more profoundly illustrated than your treatment of human sexuality. Everyone knows that the sexual experience can be the single most loving, most exciting, most powerful, most exhilarating, most renewing, most energizing, most affirming, most intimate, most uniting, most recreative physical experience of which humans are capable. Having discovered this experientially, you have chosen to accept instead the prior judgments, opinions, an idea about sex prolongated by others, all of whom have a vested interest in how you think. These opinions, judgments, and ideas have run directly contradictory to your own experience. Yet, because you are loath to make your teachers wrong, you convince yourself it must be your experience that is wrong. The result is that you have betrayed your true truth about this subject with devastating results. You have done the same thing with money. Every time in your life that you've had lots and lots of money, you have felt great. You felt great receiving it. You felt great spending it. There was nothing bad about it, nothing evil, nothing inherently wrong. Yet, you have so deeply ingrained within you the teaching of others on this subject that you have rejected your experience in favor of truth. Having adopted this truth as your own, you have formed thoughts around it, thoughts which are creative. You have thus created a personal reality around money which pushes it away from you. For why would you seek to attract that which is not good? Amazingly, you have created the same contradiction around God. Everything your heart experiences about God tells you that God is good. Everything your teachers teach you about God tell you God is bad. Your heart tells you God is to be loved without fear. Your teachers tell you God is to be feared, for he is a vengeful God. You are to live in fear of God's wrath, they say. You are to tremble in his presence. Your whole life through you are to fear the judgment of the Lord. For the Lord is just, you are told, and God knows you will be in trouble when you confront the terrible justice of the Lord. You are therefore to be obedient to God's commands, or else. Above all, you are not to ask such logical questions, such as, if God wanted strict obedience to his laws, why did he create the possibility of those laws being violated? Ah, your teachers tell you, because God wanted you to have free choice. Yet, what kind of choice is free when you choose one thing over the other brings condemnation? How is free will free when it is not your will, but someone else's, which must be done? Those who teach you this would make a hypocrite of God. You are told that God is forgiveness and compassion. Yet, if you do not ask for this forgiveness in the right way, if you do not come to God properly, your plea will not be heard. Your cry will go unheeded. Even this would not be so bad if there was only one proper way. But there are as many proper ways being taught as there are teachers to teach them. Most of you, therefore, spend the bulk of your adult life searching for the right way to worship, to obey, and to serve. The irony of all this is that God does not want your worship. God does not need your obedience. It is not necessary for you to serve God. These behaviors are the behaviors historically demanded upon their subjects by monarchs. Usually egomaniac, insecure monarchs at that, they're not godly demands in any sense. And it seems remarkable that the world hasn't by now concluded that the demands are counterfeit, having nothing to do with the needs or desires of deity. Deity has no needs. All that is exactly that. All that is. It therefore wants or lacks nothing by definition. If you choose to believe in a God who somehow needs something and has such hurt feelings if he doesn't get it that he punishes those from whom he expects to receive it, then you have chose to believe in a God smaller than my God. You truly are children of lesser God. No, people, please let me assure you again through this podcast that God is without need. God requires nothing. Now, this does not mean that God is without desires. Desires and needs are not the same thing, although many of you have made them so in your present lifetime. Desire is the beginning of all creation. It is first thought. It is a grand feeling within the soul. It is God choosing what next to create. And what is God's desire? God desires first to know and experience itself in all its glory, to know who God is. Before God invented us and all the worlds of the universe, it was impossible for God to do so. Secondly, God desires that you should know and experience who you really are through the power God has given you to create and experience yourself in whichever way you choose. Third, God desires for the whole life process to be an experience of constant joy, continuous creation, never-ending expansion, and total fulfillment in each moment of now. God has established a perfect system whereby these desires may be realized. They are being realized now in this very moment. The only difference between you and God is that God knows this. In the moment of your totally knowing, which moment could come upon you at any time, you too will feel as God always does, totally joyful, loving, accepting, blessing, and grateful. These are the five attitudes of God. And before we are through with this podcast series, I will show you how the application of these attitudes in your life now can and will bring you to godliness. All of this is a very long answer to a very short question. Yes, hold to your values, so long as you experience that they serve you. Yet, look to see whether the values you serve with your thoughts, words, and action bring to the space of your experience the highest and best idea you have ever had about you. Examine your values one by one. Hold them up to the light of public scrutiny. If you can tell the world who you are and what you believe without breaking stride or hesitating, you are happy with yourself. There is no reason to continue much further listening to my podcast because you have created a self and a life for this self which needs no improvement. You have reached perfection. Then you might say, well, my life isn't perfect, nor is it close to being perfect. I'm not perfect at all. In fact, a bundle of imperfection. God is glad you came. God has always been here to help you. God is here right now. You don't have to find the answers on your own. You never had to. Yet, it seems so presumptuous to simply sit down and have a dialogue with God, much less to imagine that you, God, are responding. I mean, this is crazy. So, are we saying that the authors of the Bible were all sane, but you're crazy? And what I'm saying is to let you know that each and every one of us can have a conversation with God anytime we choose. Anytime we choose. It's just the question of, will you listen? And about these Bible writers, just remember that most of the New Testament writers never met or saw Jesus in their lives. They lived many years after Jesus left the earth. They wouldn't have known Jesus of Nazareth if they walked into him on the streets. The Bible writers were great believers and great historians. They took the stories which have been passed down to them and to their friends by others, elders, from elder to elder, until finally a written record was made. And not everything of the Bible's author was included in the final document. I'm going to get ready to end, I just wanted to bring you just a little something today, just so that you know who you are. Because it is important that you come to know that you are part of the body of God. You are here to have life and to have it more abundantly. And when you come to realize that, you know what you'll be saying? Thank you.
Amen.
All right, I do truly thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight. I pray that something was said where you can begin to truly understand and become the greatest version of yourself that you can. I love you all. Have a great evening and a blessed, safe weekend. Good night, everyone.
Let me hear you say thank you.
If you want to be